I did it right. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I would like to begin the weekend with a word of encouragement. And that word of encouragement is going to come from verse 12. But let's begin reading in verse 1, and we'll enjoy the verses that lead up to it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of God is life. That really struck me when I read that again. The promise of God, I look at all of us sitting here, some young, some middle-aged, some older in this life, and we're all here hoping for one thing. Life. Life. That's what we want. Life with Christ. The promise of God is life. That's wonderful to me. That's the will of God for His people. Life. Live. A bunch of hell-deserving, unworthy sinners like us. Isn't that amazing? Life through and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the greeting of the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace. That's the opening announcement from God to His people. First thing to His people. Grace, mercy, and peace. Life, grace, mercy, and peace. Verse 3 says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He said, I thank God for Him continually bringing you into my remembrance to pray for you. Aren't we so thankful that we love each other? Aren't we so thankful? Verse 4 says, Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, the tears that he shed at their last parting, like when Paul was leaving the Ephesians and they were all falling on each other's neck. They just so sad. He said, This is the last time I was going to see you. And they were just so sad, falling on each other's neck. Goodbye, I'll never see you again, you know. Do you know that right now they all see each other? They do. Oh, they were so sad, just falling on each other's neck. You know, well, this is it, goodbye. Well, that didn't take long. It didn't take long. They all see each other right now. Verse 4 says, Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, without hypocrisy, the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Do you not love that? I really have gotten a hold of this a little bit more than I ever have before. That's what He came to do. Abolish death. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul told Timothy, he said, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. God hath saved us. That's what he said in verse 9. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and is now made manifest to us by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He said, that's the gospel. And he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of that gospel, because I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Why? He said, it's because I know whom I have believed. And if there's ever a moment where we feel weak and ashamed, all we have to do is think about Him. Nothing else matters and nobody else matters. It's Him. Nothing else will last. It's Him. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. Paul said that's where my confidence comes from. It comes from knowing who I'm believing in. And knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that He is able. He is able to do whatever He said He's going to do. Whatever that is, He's able to do it. Now that's the thought that I want us to just enjoy for a minute, okay? He is able. He is able. There is hope in that statement. There's true comfort in that statement. Our God is able. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to do everything that has been committed unto Him. God the Father was the first one to trust in His Son. And I commit all this into you, and I trust you, you'll do it. Everything that's been committed to Him, that's what I want to look at. Just some of the things that have been committed unto Him. And in seeing this, I pray the Lord will give us the same confidence and the same assurance that He's given to Paul. It was said of Abraham that he believed God and was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was counted unto him for righteousness. May that same faith be counted unto us and given to us. If it comes to us, it's going to be given to us by God and performed in us by God. But may we receive the confidence and the assurance of knowing that everything this Word says that is committed to Him, He is able. He is willing and He's able to do every bit of it. Now, what things have been committed unto him? What works? What accomplishment? Paul said, everything I've committed unto him. What do we commit unto him? Everything. What do we not commit unto him? Everything. But just to look at a few of them, just for a few minutes here, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able." We're going to look at those three words. "He is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's start with this right here. He is able. What works have been committed to him? What accomplishments have been committed to him? Number one, he is able to subdue all things unto himself. That's the first thing. Whether he brings it down or whether he brings it up, he's able to subdue all things to himself. King Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, this was after the Lord revealed some things to him. He said, "Let me tell you something that I'm persuaded of. I believe this with all my heart. I'm confident, I have full assurance that those who walk in pride, he is able to abase." He is able to bring a man down. He is able, thank God. Aren't we all so glad? I'm looking at a high and mighty person speaking to high and mighty people, but he is able to bring a man or woman down. He is able. He's able to subdue. He's able to conquer. No matter who a man is, no matter what a man is. You see some people and you think, no hope for them. Boy, there's no hope for them. Like that Gadarean man who was a lunatic. He couldn't be bound with chains. There's a brother in Kingsport that said this to me one time. It's the same brother I'm always talking about. Everywhere I go, I talk about a brother in Kingsport. This is him. I was either preaching on the Gadarean or mentioned him or something, and after the message was over, he came up to me just pointing like that. He said, "That Gadarean, that's me." He said, "That's me." He said, "I try to bind my sin with chains, and I break them every time." He said, "I try to bind my tongue with chains and I break them every time." He said, "I try to bind my mind and my thoughts with chains and I break them every time." And I said, "Do you mind if we go try? Let me go try that again." I wrote it down. I thought, but it's true. That's so true. That Gadarean couldn't be bound with chains. He lived in a tomb, cutting himself and mutilating himself. No one could do anything with him. No one could do anything with him until the Lord Jesus came to him. And don't we just wish that Christ would come to sinners? Nobody needs me to come to them. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to come to men and women. He walked up to that man and everybody in town came up and found that man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And that's how all of God's people are found after Christ subdues them. He brings them to his feet and they come willingly, bowing to him, worshiping him, praising him for who he is and what he's done for him. What did he do for you? He brought me down. All of God's people are clothed in His righteousness, giving them a right mind to worship and serve the true and living God. Not religion, God. Sitting, clothed, right mind. Thank God He subdued us. If He subdued us, He's able to subdue anybody. Everybody knows that story of William Jay and John Newton. You know, William Jay came into John Newton's office and said, "Brother Newton, did you hear that the Lord saved John Smith?" And John Newton said, "No, I didn't hear that. That old gutter scoundrel, you know. No, that's wonderful." And William Jay said, "Brother Newton, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved him." And John Newton said, "Brother Jay, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me." If He saved us, He can save anybody. There's another brother in Kingsport who just over and over and over again, you'll understand this because you've said it. Over and over again, he would come up and say, "Why me? Why would God do this for me? Why would He have mercy on me? Why would He show kindness to me? Why me?" I finally said to him one time, "It's because you were the worst. Me and you. That's why He saved us. We were the worst." And he said, "That's the first thing that's ever made sense to me. We were the worst." Well, here's the next thing. Not only is He able to subdue us, turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 3. This is just before the Lord taught Nebuchadnezzar some things. Daniel chapter 3. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And you know how it goes. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "If you don't bow down and worship this idol, this golden image that I've made, I'm going to throw you into the furnace." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. And Nebuchadnezzar was told that they didn't do it. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." What they were saying is, "We don't need more time. We don't need to ponder this. We're persuaded. We're certain. We have full assurance of this right here." Verse 17, "If it be so, if you do throw us into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Either He will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, or He will deliver us through the burning fiery furnace. But either way, He will deliver us out of your hand. Verse 18, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They said, "He has subdued us to himself. Therefore, we know that if he wants to, if he is willing to, he is able to deliver us. If he wants to." And that's the truth. If he wants to and if he wills to, he is able to deliver us. That's the truth. The good news of the gospel is He wants to. He does. And He's willing to. Either from the fiery furnace or through the fiery furnace. But either way, He will. It was His will in the beginning. It is His will right now. It will be His will in the end. That's His will for His people. He who purposed it and accomplished it shall bring it to pass. Hebrews 7:25 says, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Meaning that are brought to God through Him, through Christ. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 11:19 says that Abraham was willing to plunge the knife into his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. He was willing to. He committed in his heart to. Because Abraham believed in his heart that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. If that's what he wanted to do, he's able to do it. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were convinced of. They said, even if he kills us in this furnace, he's still able to deliver us. He delivered us from sin. And you think about, I know we can't understand this and get a hold of this, but he delivered us from sin. You talk about something that has a hold on us. He has delivered us from death. He has delivered us from hell. All through the shedding of His own blood. He'll deliver us from this, from whatever. That's what they were saying, whatever this is. Even if He uses it, He'll deliver us. And you know how this story ends. Nebuchadnezzar bound them, heated the furnace 7 times hotter than normal, and threw them in. Verse 22 says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And before I read this next verse, I'll just tell you, this is one of my favorite things to read. Because any time that you have ever been in the midst of the fiery furnace, some trial, you know this is true. You know this is true. King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, didn't we throw 3 men in there bound? Didn't we bind them? Didn't you tie it up tight? They said, yeah, we did. True, king. Verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men. Loose. Walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did he know? If a person ever sees Christ, they'll know, won't they? Jesus Christ was with them. The Son of God. Right there in the midst of it. And He is. He is. That's how it'll be for every single child of God. He said, when it's your turn to walk through the fire, I'll be with you. What Nebuchadnezzar saw right there was Christ crucified for them. Christ crucified with them. All of them could say, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nebuchadnezzar saw that. He said, pull them out of there. Deliver them from going down to the pit. I have seen their ransom. So they pulled them out. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't have one hair singed. Not one burn mark. They didn't even smell like smoke. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He is able to subdue us, and he's able to deliver us. That is so comforting, man. Now, because we have been subdued and delivered, let me very quickly show you three more verses of Scripture. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9, verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able. He is able. Christ is able to make all of His grace abound toward you. Not just your fair share. Okay, well, there's a number no man can number, and His grace is divided into a number of pieces that no man can number. He is able to make, this is amazing, for each one of His people, He is able to make all of His grace, all of His goodness, all of His kindness abound toward you. In the same way that His mercy abounded toward us through the cross of His death, it abounded. His grace has abounded toward us through the resurrection of His life. His mercy was Him not giving us what we deserve. God gave His own Son what His people deserved. And grace is us getting what we don't deserve. God has given His people what His Son deserved. And every need, and this is so, all of these things are so, we can all say this is true. He is able to subdue us. And we can all say this is true. He is able to deliver us. And we can all say this is so. He's able to make His grace abound toward us. That means His grace is sufficient. It is. You will get to the end of a thing whether He delivers you from it or through it. Here or there, we will all say, His grace really was sufficient. And it abounded. And I'm happy. Really? Yeah. I wouldn't change it. I consider it grace. It was grace. Above and beyond. Every need that we have in this life and in the world to come is going to be supplied. Graciously supplied. And then turn with me to Acts 20. Not only will all of our need be supplied here, but every need that we ever have to come for all of eternity, He's able to supply it. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. And is not that not what we do in the preaching of this word? I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. An inheritance eternal in the heavens. Peter said it's one that is incorruptible, undefiled. It will never fade away. You'll never have to worry if it's going to run out. It'll never fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for all those who are being kept by the power of God. An eternal inheritance. He's able to do that. What is the inheritance? It's Christ Himself. He is the inheritance. Can you not wait to hug Him? Really? I love hugging you all. Can you not wait to hug Him? And say thank you, thank you, thank you. He's our inheritance. That's why it's never going to fade away. He'll never fade away. He's the inheritance. So He is able to subdue us, to deliver us, to abound all grace to us, to reserve an eternal inheritance for us. Therefore, let's close with this scripture. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews 2. Verse 14, Hebrews 2:14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor," that means to comfort and to help them that are tempted, going through trials. Anytime you need comfort, anytime you need true help, go to Him. Go to Him. In our weakness and in our flesh, He is our last resort. We'll go to everything. We'll go to everything. And it won't help. But the moment we go to Him, there's help there. He literally, whatever it is that each person is going through, He stood there in that place for you. He stood there in that place as you. And He knows. He knows. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. How amazing is that statement? We can't even come boldly to the White House. You can't walk up to the Oval Office and walk right in. But we can walk up to the throne of God Almighty. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of His grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is able. He's able. Paul told Timothy, considering the fact that that is our message, why on this earth would we be ashamed of that? Why on this earth? That's the most glorious message there is. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Thank you, Brother Donnie.